Hello, Exopolitics listeners. I'm R.V. Romero, Stellar Artistic Director of Exopolitics Radio. I'd like to thank you all for listening to our show and for taking an interest in the evolution of our planet and our species through Exopolitics Radio and the study of law and order in the universe. For over a year now, I've enjoyed working closely with your elusive host, Alfred Weber, on this fine production that we're proud to broadcast on a weekly basis and post free of charge on our website. Currently, I'm happy to say that in the last 90 days, ExopoliticsRadio.com has been visited by people in over 56 countries and 492 cities around the globe, including all 50 states in the U.S. During that time, we've averaged over 5,000 podcast downloads per show, and we're adding listeners every week with affiliates at Paranormal Radio, the Revere Radio Network, and most recently, Kansas City Online Radio. Now, I'm telling you all this to give you an update on how our show is progressing, and also to let you know that indeed, the number of intelligent people here on Earth who are catching on to the fact that there are other intelligent life forms in the universe is growing. And Exopolitics Radio is proud to be on the cutting edge of this revelation by reporting news and providing the insight and perspectives that you can't find anywhere else on the radio, in the newspapers, or on the television. We want to continue bringing you Exopolitics Radio both online and on air free of charge, as we always have, because we believe in the message and the content. However, as a studio and production team, we do have routine expenses which must be maintained in order to do so. It pains us to ask, and I promise we won't do it often, but if every listener online donated $1 a month, that would completely cover our production costs for the show and the immense amount of time spent doing research, interviews, and production time given graciously by our host. Of course, not every listener is going to be able to donate $1 or donate on a monthly basis, so if you could consider donating a little bit more, that would be a tremendous help and allow us to continue adding more and more affiliates, creating new programs, interviews, and materials, and most importantly, continue broadcasting this message of hope and truth around the globe and the universe. So whatever the outcome, I can promise you that we will continue working to bring you a unique and sincere program week in and week out, 12 months a year. So we thank you for your support of Exopolitics Radio. Please remember to go to www.exopoliticsradio.com and click on the donate menu option for more information. Thank you very much, and now back to the show.
The views expressed on Exopolitics Radio with Alfred Weber are the views of Alfred Weber and not specifically those of our on-air affiliates or our sponsors.
Welcome back. This is Exopolitics Radio. I'm your host, Alfred Weber, and today we have a special guest, our Exopolitics commentator, Dr. Stephen Greer, director of the Disclosure Project and author of the book Hidden Truth, Forbidden Knowledge, and the book Disclosure, as well as several other books and papers that you can find at the website www.disclosureproject.org. And I have the pleasure of knowing Steve now for many years, starting from when I was a Disclosure Project witness and was part of a process of bringing together more than 100 high-level military and governmental witnesses to the extraterrestrial presence, at that stage culminating in a press conference at the National Press Club on May 9th, 2001. Welcome, Steve.
Thank you. Glad to be with you.
Oh, great. Well, we'd like to ask you, now that we're in 2008 with a number of different strands going on, just to take a look at what the disclosure sort of outlook worldwide is for 2008. And there are many different channels or tracks going on, but I'd like to start with those tracks, the developments that kicked off the year down by the Mexican border. One was in San Diego on New Year's Eve, where we had several sightings. But then there were the incidents starting on January 8th, with sightings at Stephenville, Texas, within 60 miles of the Texas White House, reported chasings by F-15s, flip-flops by the Air Force, a firing of a reporter, and Jelia Joyner, who was reporting on the harassment of witnesses to that event. And that seems to crystallize what has been going on for the past 60 years. And I wondered if you could comment on the Stephenville sightings, because it just seems to focalize, you know, part of the truth embargo that has been going on.
Well, I think the good news is that it got some widespread coverage, which many of these events, in fact, there are much more spectacular encounters that have happened in recent years that have had a complete news blackout. What we're seeing now is that it is beginning to be covered more, and that's the good part of it. The part that isn't good, of course, is the continued transparent and rather clumsy denials by our Air Force. And, you know, I was meeting recently with a senior Air Force official who has been a supporter of the Disclosure Project for years, and he's in charge of a high-tech compartment. He's a colonel in the Air Force. And we were talking about this, and he said, well, you know, the issue is really around the technologies and the whole issue coming out about the technologies that are behind these extraordinary spacecraft. And I said, yes, of course. I mean, that's what the issue has really all been about since the 40s, when we figured out how these things were operating and the advanced electronics that deal with so-called anti-gravity and zero-point energy fields. And I think that, you know, one of the comments that he made to me was, well, you know, there are defense applications for these, and there are defense implications as well. And this was at a meeting in Washington last month, by the way. And what I said to him, I said, yes, but meanwhile, we're melting both polar ice caps. We're in a major war in the Middle East over oil, make no mistake about it. You have thousands of your colleagues in the military dying for nothing. And we're likely to go to a meltdown in our civilization over this. I mean, how much benefit can there be in keeping this secret any further? And so he and I have engaged in this dialogue now for some time. And what I see is that there are people who are friendly to the concept of disclosing this information, but there's still a very hardcore group trying to protect the status quo because their feet are basically set in quicksand, and they're sinking into this old order, an old way of thinking, and they don't know quite how to extricate themselves. And this is really what the disclosure debate has become about. You have what I call the friendlies who are in government who would like to see this move forward, and then you have these very entrenched and very powerful, I might add, interest that do not want this brought out, but not for the reasons most people think. It's for the reasons that have to do with the technologies, because there's no way to acknowledge the existence of these, the reality of these interstellar spacecraft without questions being asked immediately in the mainstream media and the scientific community regarding how are they getting here. And that will then open up the whole issue around new energy and the energy solutions that have been suppressed for well over 100 years now, since the time of Nikola Tesla. So I think that this is all part and parcel of a huge problem that isn't just about a sighting here and there. You have to look at the context and the deep background behind why the reactivity that you see, such as the intimidation of witnesses, the denial of this being a legitimate event. You know, they put people on Larry King who will say, well, we don't know what it was, which is ridiculous, a UFO person who was on there. Or they'll have someone who's a debunker saying, well, you can't trust observers, even if they are other pilots and trained professionals. But this kind of sort of spinning of the issue is just an attempt, even though now the polls are indicating some 80% of Americans, at least, believe that the issue is real and that there are some aspects of the government keeping all this secret.
Right. Now, all of this comes, Steve, and we're now still, in fact, at a very important stage still in the primary process, at least in the primary process of the Democratic Party. There was a phase in the Democratic Party primaries, as you may recall, where the UFO ET issue became front and center when Representative Dennis Kucinich was asked publicly about his UFO sighting. And then that prompted a round of all the candidates being asked not only about their whether they had had sightings, but what their ET UFO policy might be. And some kind of poo-pooed it, but some gave rather more serious answers. And you, of course, have been at this now for a while, very seriously during the first Clinton with the presidential terms of President Bill Clinton. What do you see now, regardless of whether Hillary Clinton, we don't know today as of this program, which is being recorded on the day of the Ohio and Texas primaries, so we don't know specifically what certain outcomes are going to be, but regardless, knowing what you know about Hillary Clinton, Barack Obama, but also about the deeper apparatus.
Well, what I know is this, and that is that, and you can find this at our disclosureproject.org website. Back in 1993, when I began briefing senior Clinton administration officials, including Bill Clinton's first CIA director, Jim Woolsey, the disclosure was called Project Starlight, and there has been a FOIA lawsuit that has resulted in the release of documents from the Clinton Library recently talking about Project Starlight and our briefing and providing materials to the White House. Now, as you know, Bill and Hillary Clinton were hosted by Lawrence Rockefeller at the J.Y. Ranch in the Grand Tetons near Jackson Hole, and I had been asked to put together this 600-page briefing document for the president, and of course did so. What was interesting about that is that it was Hillary who stopped the briefing and said, we don't really want to go into this any further. And subsequently, when we were releasing through PR Newswire, which is a mainstream newswire service that reaches the entire world's media, and we were releasing a press a notice about this, I believe it was in December of 07, a few months ago, when we included a discussion of the Clinton briefings and all of this, the Newswire service had a senior executive call us and say, we are sanitizing that part out of your press release. Now, this is a pay-per-event service that we pay for, and if it isn't inexpensive, it costs like $1,000 to send this out. Well, what was interesting is that they absolutely forced us to rewrite the press release to take out any reference to these events, and it was because the Clinton machine had people in this media corporate apparatus to sanitize this information. Now, a couple days later, the Associated Press announced that these documents regarding Project Starlight had come out through this FOIA lawsuit from the Clinton Library. So what you see is that behind the scenes, there's a lot of dissembling. There's a lot of, unfortunately, I hate to use this word, covering up of even something like just getting information and briefing these sort of officials on it. I think our best hope in terms of having had someone who would have carried an open investigation and disclosure forward would have been John Edwards, because one of his best friends is an actual Disclosure Project witness, a man who is one of our senior witnesses for the Disclosure Project, and who is a very good friend of Edwards, and we, of course, had provided materials to him. Of course, Kucinich would have, but he had very, very, very little chance. I mean, he was getting 1% or 2% of the vote. Edwards was a serious front runner, but now, of course, he's out of the picture. And the big question mark, of course, having now seen, of course, the Clinton response and using this iron fist to even sanitize our press releases, is that, you know, what would Barack Obama do? And what would John McCain do? I mean, John McCain, I have met with senior staffers of the McCain senatorial office, and they have been very friendly to what we are proposing. I think McCain is a genuinely courageous person. Whether he would step into this issue or not is a very open question. I wouldn't say no. I wouldn't say yes. And Barack Obama, similarly, is a very open question. We do not know if he has either the interest or the courage to take on something this controversial.
Right. Now, just looking out over the rest of the world at this time, I know that you have spoken out in very general terms about a possible G8 country that might be coming forward, but there are a number of countries ranging from the UK to France, other countries that have been forthcoming with at least their UFO files, although that seems to be back and forth on a daily basis. I read that the UK Department of Defense just in the last week took part of its Rendlesham files off of its website.
So yeah, there's a lot of arm twisting going on, and yeah. What you need to understand is that one of our the people who work with our project have been providing some briefing materials at the United Nations recently, and I think that one of the other initiatives that we've had has been with the European Union and some of the countries there. And since that commitment was made, and that was a year ago about now, that we got a letter from one of the Ministry of Defenses of a major G8 country committing to making open contact and disclosing this matter, we have seen a circling of the wagons where they're trying to contain that initiative. And it isn't at all dead, but it's very much in the process, I believe, of attempting to be massaged or co-opted by interest who would like to say, oh, well, you know, if we bring this information out, it'll be too destabilizing, or it will cause too much controversy or what have you. And this is typical, and that's what most people find once they step into this. You get these old gray men that step forward and say, oh, this is way too risky to do, and don't do it. And again, it becomes an issue of courage, of leadership, of integrity, and you know, not that there's a great deal of that in political circles, as we all know, but I think that that's really the currency that is lacking, and that we're going to see if it actually follows through. Now, what's interesting is that I will say, and I can only say this in terms of a general comment, is that the initiative that started as a Ministry of Defense initiative to work with us to precipitate a close encounter of the fifth kind, which is a human-initiated landing and contact, with our group being the lead diplomatic group for this government, this has now been taken over by the office of the president of this country, and it is now in the process of being reviewed. Where it goes from there, we don't know, and what we're hoping is that it will continue to go through channels and be supported, but it's an open question as to see whether or not the leadership of this and other countries stay on this course, or do, as you just referred to in the United Kingdom, begin to pull back some because of some arm twisting from other quarters who are in favor of maintaining the secrecy. So it is certainly a dynamic process, and a very, I mean, it changes literally week by week.
This is Exopolitics Radio. I'm your host, Alfred Weber. We've been listening to our feature interview with Dr. Stephen Greer of the Disclosure Project. Please stay tuned. We'll be right back. Welcome back. This is Exopolitics Radio. I'm your host, Alfred Weber. Let's rejoin our feature interview with Dr. Stephen Greer. Thank you. You know, you just mentioned the UN, and just over the past few days, I think it was February 21st, there was a report by a relatively high-ranking French attaché to an official French body, Mr. Gilles Laurent, who apparently attended a series of three-day meetings at the UN.
Yes, I've seen those emails. I don't have any personal knowledge of that particular gentleman and his allegations. I can't confirm them. I can't deny them.
Right.
I do have somebody who is very senior connected to that government who is looking into his pedigree and into his bona fides to see. But beyond that, all I can say is that we really don't have any information on those particular emails.
Right, because there's also an independent, you would say, corroboration of those meetings, or independent second track reporting on those meetings by, I think you mentioned them, two brothers who are members of the Disclosure Project, I think, in New York, who were provided leaks from that meeting by a U.S. admiral. Do you have any information on that or on them at all?
Well, no, I don't have any further information.
Uh-huh.
It's just the information that's out there. And again, I If those emails are accurate, and I'm qualifying this with the if, and if that information is accurate, because I wasn't personally there, and I try to speak to things that I have personal knowledge of, I'm very careful about that. What it would indicate from the tone of what's being said is an attempt to co-opt these official initiatives from the United Kingdom and France and other countries to come forward with these sort of frightening, gee, we've got to be very careful because of the risk of it panicking the public. It'd be old, 1950s panic attack stuff. And I think, by the way, this is one of the reasons why, although it's extremely controversial in the UFO subculture, our position on this, this is why we are very, very conservative about not making wild and speculative claims as to the intent and the purpose of these extraterrestrial visitors in a way that goes towards the paranoid, the pejorative, the invasion sort of scenario. Because this is exactly the reason for citing secrecy, which is false and ridiculous. But it's also a reason for the buildup of weapons in space.
Exactly.
And I think that there is a certain naivete within the UFO and exopolitics community regarding this in terms of how to properly discuss this issue without hitting those trigger points that actually ensure further secrecy. And the question is, do we really want this to come out or not? And if we do, we're going to have to find a way of speaking about it and also disciplining the message and the spokespeople for this whole effort so that it doesn't begin to devolve into Alien Invasion Week on the Discovery Channel.
Right.
And I think this is a very, very serious thing to discuss that, you know, of course, I get attacked a great deal for bringing these issues up because everyone has their own belief system about who these visitors are and why they're here and what have you. But when you start going down that path, particularly the conventional subculture, UFO subculture path of the catechisms of belief of ufology, you actually are endorsing the reasons for the secrecy and also the reasons for the targeting of these spacecraft and this buildup of the weapons in space. So as we saw this recent testing of the missile defense system or Star Wars system shooting down the errant satellite last week. So I think that we have to be very wise in how we're approaching this and be careful we don't step on all these landmines that are embedded in this subject.
Right. And just reading the report that this gentleman, this French gentleman, Gilles Laurent, has put out, his background is that he is from the same group that put out the Cometa report, and apparently he was invited to attend these meetings. But the briefing which brought the meetings together, apparently at the request of three U.S. senators, were led by none other than the U.S. Air Force and the National Guard. So as you state, one really has to question the point of view or the paradigm which is being presented to I think that there were 40 representatives of 28 nations, including the Vatican, at these meetings. And just to read from his, he says that the group came to a consensus that an official opening toward UFOs and the extraterrestrial presence would be held under two conditions. That the quote, the annoying manifestations of our neighbors, meaning the ETs, continue to exist throughout the world through the end of 2009, and two, that until the end of 2009, social peace in the G8 countries is guaranteed around the liberal democratic model, i.e., I guess that he's saying that so long as there's social peace in the G8 countries and UFOs continue to appear, then they would recommend an official opening be the kind of the UN policy. But then they go to say, quote, end of quote, due to the high probability of economic recession resulting from the speeches of contactees, charlatan, religious figures, some scientists, and prophecies, sightings of UFOs increase sharply the risk of social unrest threatening the political systems of several diverging emerging democracies. So, Steve, this sounds exactly what you're talking about.
Well, it is. And in fact, this is I have heard this from members of the, if you want to call it, the cabal, who have been keeping this secret for many years. In fact, one of the people that I've dealt with for years who's been on the side of keeping this secret has used exactly that party line in the 1990s when we were doing these briefings for the Clinton administration, the CIA director. So this is an old retread of an argument that's been going on for 60 years. And I think that what you find is that they'll always find an excuse, because there's always some economic problems and there's always some instability in our society, and there are always emerging and struggling democracies. So, you know, basically, you know, they can cite these things as a way of using fear again, and fear of change and fear of large-scale change being the reason to maintain the status quo, to keep this issue secret, and also to, more importantly, keep the scientific knowledge that's behind this entire phenomenon a secret. And I think this is exactly what we have to explain to the public. And by the way, since the public is really on our side of this, the other thing we need to do is to say it's time for us to go forward with also the scientific disclosure.
Yes.
And we have just started the Orion Project, which is a nonprofit group to put the best scientific minds together who understand the physics behind these sort of electronic energy systems, electromagnetic flux field systems. And people can go to theorionproject.org. And we are in the process of putting together the funding to gather about 15 of the world's most brilliant scientists and engineers under one roof here near the University of Virginia and in the shadow of Thomas Jefferson's Monticello to build these systems independent of the government and of the corporate world under this nonprofit group, and disclose the energy and propulsion systems that would explain all of this. And I think this is very important for the public to understand, because now the public can participate in the actual physical, scientific creation of new and free energy systems. And that's what we think is the next big thing in disclosure, quite frankly.
Now, among the aims of the Orion Project, which sounds is very deep, would that be, for example, to build propulsion systems that can be used on craft that would allow exploration of our solar system without having to use either the petroleum or other fossil fuel or the nuclear systems that are being used now, at least by the non-black budget?
Well, yes, absolutely. I think that, however, that's a later phase. What our first phase is to bring out robust demonstrations of the ability to get free energy from the quantum vacuum or the zero-point energy field,
uh-huh.
and also to come out with systems that can convert the current fossil fuel systems to cleaner systems. These include water-to-fuel type systems like Stanley Meyer had developed and others. We do have a couple of scientists, one of whom was a very senior scientist with one of the United States government programs, who have built the so-called anti-gravity or lift systems, and we think that within 12 to 18 months we can reproduce the work he did that later became, became so successful that it got shut down because they already had these operating in Lockheed Skunk Works and some other programs. So what we have put together and who we have identified is really the best brain trust in the world. And what we're asking the public to do and the people listening to you is to say, well, they need to contribute to this, because there's not going to be money from the government or corporations. I think we individuals are going to have to do this. And we have about $500,000 already committed, but our goal is around $3 million to have this small R&D campus open up here. And people can donate to that. And I think that they should go to theorionproject.org and support it. And, you know, what you'll find is that there are scientists and engineers who have worked out of small labs or their basements for decades who simply have never had the opportunity to work with a whole team of people to bring these sciences to fruition and then disclose them to the public. And that's really what needs to happen next. I think most of the public already know that we're being visited and that there are UFOs out there. I think what people want to see are some serious solutions to the global environmental and energy crisis, and also, as a later stage, have the means to travel peacefully amongst the stars, rather than having it all dominated by a cabal of folks who are sitting on these technology, using them for God knows what purposes.
So that the energy inventions that are being developed by the Orion Project can be used in a variety of terrestrial applications also.
That's the first application.
Yeah.
If we don't lift the burden that we're placing on planet Mother Earth, we're going to be in big trouble. I mean, very big trouble. And so we're in an emergency situation as far as I'm concerned. And as you know, I'm an emergency and trauma doctor.
Right.
And I think the entire biosphere and geopolitical situation is at a state of emergency. And we've got to find a way to have a peaceful, white world, civilian energy project that brings these solutions out. Because, look, I mean, since the time of T. Townsend Brown and Nikola Tesla, there have been breakthroughs that have come and gone and been suppressed that deal with this sort of issue. You don't have to turn to an extraterrestrial source for this. Humans have come up with these same laws of physics and have done things. What we've done in the last 5 years is identify the absolute best people on the planet who understand these systems, who are willing to work together in synergy and bring their 30, 40 years of experience in this area together and come out with the first of these energy systems and then later, of course, the actual propulsion system.
Yeah, yeah. Not to get too much to the fine detail of it, but once you do reach a working prototype, how is that basic prototype and those basic principles, how are those delivered and adapted to the variety of applications, be it in transportation, be it for homes, be it for office buildings and apartment buildings, be it for, you know, various other applications?
Well, our goal, to be honest with you, is to come out with an energy generation system that would be something like the size of your heat pump. Okay. That would bring your entire home into a non-polluting source of energy. You're not going to get the big automakers to put these sort of motors and engines in their vehicles right away. But if you have something that's an entry that where the masses can support it, you don't want to deal with the public utilities because they're all connected to the big financial interests, and you don't want to deal with a government regulatory entities, and you certainly don't want to deal with the big motor company. So if you eliminate all that, what you're left with are the masses of people who would love to have a way of running their home and eventually their car with a source of clean energy that is non-polluting, has zero carbon footprint, and is getting energy from this environmental electromagnetic flux field, which we know is possible to do. So that's the first thing we're going to be aiming towards.
Very good. So if people who would like to become financial supporters or who want to be updated on the project, they should go to www.theorionproject.org.
Right, and it's a tax-deductible donation. Look, if there were, you know, 100,000 people who each contributed a small amount, we'd have enough to open this facility in the next 3 months and gather all these people together. And this is not something that is unattainable. You know, 5 years ago, I would have had a question mark about it. Today, to give one example, we have this one scientist who developed these electromagnetic systems to the state where they were so successful that the project was shut down. And he is now willing to work with us to reproduce this. And his system was also independently reproduced by the largest laboratory in the U.S. government. And we know it works because I know the senior scientist very intimately who reproduced his work. And when they reproduced it, some people came in from this cabal and said, and they defunded that research because it was not within the compartment channel that's been keeping a lid on the secrecy of these technologies for the last 50 years. So we have these kinds of brilliant scientists, physicists, and engineers who are willing to work with us. The question is now, how are we going to get them in one place? How are we going to fund that effort? And we're not trying to raise $100 million to do this. We're a very, very modest amount so people can have their basic needs provided for. We can have a fabricating shop there. We can have the right materials acquired, and then we can get these things built and demonstrated. And when we do, there's going to be a huge National Press Club event with these systems running. And by the way, I recently met with the head of state in Europe who said to me, if you get anything at that level, I'll be there with you. And this is someone that if he comes, the whole world will be watching.
Excellent. Very, very good. Yes, thank you, Steve, for this overview, and thank you for being with us, and we hope that you'll be able to join us again in the future as these various projects and stories develop over time. We've been with Dr. Stephen Greer, who is director of the Disclosure Project and director and founder of the Orion Project. This is Exopolitics Radio. I'm your host, Alfred Weber. Please stay tuned. Thank you.